I come from down in the valley, where Mr. When you're young.
Welcome back, high school hockey fans, to another edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. I'm Mike Hammond. We got an abbreviated panel tonight. Bill Berg, Trasher, and Del Scanlon are along tonight, as Junior once again is out on special assignment. Game recaps. RWD and Wanakee got together in a very interesting game. Started out big and really ended up kind of really tight. Del Scanlon, give us a rundown on that one.
Thanks, MJ. Wanakee traveled to Reedsburg for a conference game. Wanakee entered the conference undefeated going into this game. And the first period looked like they were going to keep that going, as they were able to put up four goals in the first period, with Kyle Erke picking up two of those four goals. And so at the end of one period, RWD found themselves down 4-0 and having been outshot 14-6 in that first period. RWD came back in the second period, kept working at it, and finally was able to get on the board 4 minutes, 20 seconds into the period. And then a little over a minute later, they scored a second goal to make it a 4-2 game at the end of two periods. And then they entered the third period. 47 seconds in, Derek Pollock scored a goal, bringing RWD back to within one. And then at two and a half minutes in, they tied the game up at four. And you could just, the momentum had shifted very largely at that point in time. And with just over 9 minutes remaining on the clock, RWD took the lead for the first time in that game to lead 5-4, and held on to win that, even taking a penalty with a minute 23 remaining in regulation, managed to kill off the penalty and get out of there with a 5-4 win. And after the game, I got to talk to Neil Mattson, and of course, one of the questions I had to ask him was, what was the largest comeback any of his teams have had there? And he said, as far as he could remember, this was the largest deficit that they've ever faced, that they were able to come back and pick up the victory. And so RWD pulls to within two games in the Badger North Conference. Maybe a little too late to try to overtake the conference, but at a good time to start getting things together, as we're coming in real quick to the end of the regular season and going into sectionals. And with that, I'm going to toss it back to you, MJ.
Del, about that game, could you kind of get a sense of, once RWD scored and then they scored again, did you kind of get a sense of there's some momentum building here, there's something up?
You got that momentum. And, you know, it's one of those things, you sit there at the end of that first period and you're like, okay, how's this going to go? Because that fourth goal that Wanakee scored in that first period was a minute 28 left in the period, and you're really wondering how RWD is going to be able to respond to this. And at that point, you know, a lot of RWD fans, you know, that I was talking to at intermission were wondering if they were going to end up into a runtime game at that point in time. And then you could feel the fans starting to get in when they got that second goal. The first goal was big. It was a shorthanded goal, and that always pulls a little more momentum your way. And then they got the power play goal in the same period. So, you know, you scored both ways on their shorthanded and on the power play, and it really brought the momentum back to them going into that third period. But then again, scoring, you know, 47 seconds into the period, and we talked about that last week, what that can do to a team, giving up a goal in the beginning part, within that first minute of a period.
Okay, Del, so people that went to that one definitely got their money's worth in a thriller of a game, 5-4. Del, did you ever get any sense during that game, let's say in the first period, did Wanakee look that dominant, or did RWD just kind of look, you know, like it wasn't going to be a very good night?
No, actually, the first 5 minutes of the game, I thought that RWD had all the momentum going their way for the first 5 minutes. And that first goal for Wanakee ended up being a breakout pass, you know, that went down and was put in. And one of the things that really led to a lot of the Wanakee goals there in that first period was trying to clear the puck out of in front of the goalie. And, you know, RWD struggled with doing that in the first period, and they cleaned that up in the second and third period.
And they go on to a 5-4 win in a very good game. Dell, thank you very much for that report. It sounds like a great game, and Dell got to witness it. Our Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week we just had last week. The Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine provides cutting-edge personalized sports performance and injury prevention programs, training with world-class experts, state-of-the-art facilities, and technology, the Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Center. Our boys, we'll get to in a moment, our boys' Groundhog Tournament Championship game was the game of the week. But first, let's go with Trasher. Let's ask him about the Central Wisconsin Storm and the Bay Area Ice Bears in the girls' game of the week. And Michael, this one had a lot of shots, but not a lot of goals.
No, we knew it was going to be a defensive battle, and the score in itself with two goals total did not come as a surprise, but the number of shots did. The teams came in a little bit banged up. The Storm was missing Caitlin Schilling, who was their second leading scorer. The Ice Bears were missing Morgan Zerbel, who was their third leading scorer, and Jordan Katerlik and Ashley Raisbeck, who were both in the top 10. So playing a little bit shorthanded, trying to get their lines adjusted. And there was a lot of back and forth up and down the ice. First period, no score, though. And the Storm held a 10-0 shot edge in that period. The first goal of the game was finally scored in the second period. Oh, no, I lost my notes. I got to look this up now. That's not good. But the Storm scored the goal. It was scored by Caitlin Rampton. It was on a 3-on-2, and she got the puck on the low right side and beat Bay Area goalie Anna Holzbach for the 1-0 lead. And then that's how the period ended. That game, or that period, the Ice Bears did not get their first shot on goal until 5 seconds left in the period. So they went almost 34 minutes without a shot on net. Totally amazing. It was kind of weird to look at the shot scoreboard and see the zero up there for such a long time. Holzbach stopped 16 of 17 on her end to keep the score at 1-0. And then, finally in the third period, there was a redirect on a shot from the point, and standing in front of the goal was Autumn Klemenchik to redirect the puck through the pads of Chloe Westberg to tie the game at 1. Bay Area took a timeout late with under 5 minutes left prior to a power play to try to set up a good play. Of course, you have to call a timeout at this point. And just as the post is the goalie's best friend, it was the shooter's worst enemy, as Danny Reince had a shot from close in, ping off the right post, and just bounce off and into the corner. And then that's how it ended. The period ended with a 1-1 tie. The teams took a little break, and then they played, all 8 minutes, no score, and they ended up shaking hands after a 1-1 tie. And I mentioned the shot differential in that game. I thought coming in it was going to be pretty low for both teams. They'd both be in the 20s. Well, not even close for the Storm. The Storm had 43 shots, and not even close for the Ice Bears. They had 6. So what you kind of didn't expect happened, you didn't expect the Ice Bears to give up a lot of shots, and you didn't expect them to not get so many, but defensive battle it was. 2 goals scored, and it ended up in a 1-1 tie. So in some ways, it seems like it was a one-sided, lopsided game, but in another way, it was very interesting because Holzbach played very well in net with her 42 saves. It could have easily been 5-6-1. So from that way, that perspective, it was a pretty interesting game, guys. A good match between two solid clubs, and it was a good game to go to.
You know, as Michael, you say it's not a high-scoring game, you know, lots of shots, but, you know, when you think about it, in that game, one of those teams was one shot, one bounce away from winning the game. I mean, it's was one of those that could have went either way, I guess, kind of.
Well, yeah, and there was probably two or three pipes on the in the game, and, you know, you're talking just a smidge of a difference there. It goes, it hits off one side and it goes out. It hits on the little bit closer to the middle. It goes in. Central Wisconsin had a couple good chances in the second period early on. Eden Gruber had a, what I call a semi-bust out, or kind of a sort of a semi-breakaway, where she had just a little bit of a lead on her defender, and she airmailed one over the crossbar. And then about a minute later, they came back down. The Storm did on a two-on-one rush, and Holzbach made a nice save. So, I mean, close, yeah, but I guess, you know, close doesn't count. It's got to go in the net. Even Coach Pete Susan said after the game that there was some frustration because the puck wasn't going in the net, and he said you have to fight through all that and realize that as the game gets longer and longer, absolutely every play is important. And after, shortly after those two scoring chances that went awry, then the Storm cashed in. They scored their goal. Ramthen made that shot from the right circle to make it 1-0. So they, like, they almost followed his edict there to the letter. Keep playing, keep working, and eventually things will work out. And they scored a goal and ended up being a tie, but it was a very entertaining game.
Okay, Michael, thank you very much for that report on the girls' game of the week. I got to go over for the boys' game of the week to Sun Prairie and watch the Waukesha Wings take on Madison Memorial Spartans in the championship game on Saturday night. Waukesha used a pair of Ian Malcolmson's second period goals less than a minute apart to get a 3-0 lead, and they went on to a 4-1 win in Sun Prairie. Wings in the first period, boy, did they bring it. They kept relentless pressure on Memorial goalie Ryan Kenny in the first period, but only led 1-0 on a goal by Garrett Wilderman with brother Wyatt assisting almost 6 minutes into the game. Now, in this game, shots were announced as 31-4 after the first period. I have a hard time believing it was 31, but if that's what they said, then we'll go with that number. Waukesha kept the pressure up in the second period, and finally Malcolmson scored on a goal on the finishing side of a 2-1 rush for a 2-0 lead. He wasn't done as he scored 44 seconds later for a 3-0 lead after two periods. Ryan Kenny was fantastic on Saturday night. He kept Memorial close in this game for quite a while, and finally his offense broke through. TJ Green scored with 4:13 left on a tip that went 5-hole to make it a 3-1 game with plenty of time still to go. With time left, the Spartans' hopes of catching up, though, were crushed by the Wilderman brothers as they struck again. This time Wyatt scoring with Garrett assisting, and the Wings went up 4-1. Memorial could get no closer, and Waukesha ran out the clock to win the 2017 Groundhog Tournament. In that game, Ryan Kenny stopped 55 of 59 shots. Garrett Larson for Waukesha stopped 15 of 16 in that game. And also, as I was looking here in the box score, Ben Shepard for Waukesha had a playmaker with 3 assists in the game. So a good game for Waukesha. They get a nice win over Madison Memorial. But, guys, the more I watched this, the more I was impressed with Ryan Kenny as he played fantastic in this game, single-handedly kind of keeping up Madison Memorial in this game and give him a chance. But he's a senior on a young team. And, you know, it's was one of those things where he was going to keep him in the game the best he could. But in the end, Waukesha had maybe just a little bit more firepower, and they were winners in this game. Final score is 4-1, and they took their 2017 Groundhog Championship home with them. And that is our Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week. Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine provides cutting-edge personalized sports performance and injury prevention programs, training with world-class experts in state-of-the-art facilities and technology. Radisson Madison Players of the Week, Burglar will tell us about those. The Radisson of Madison is Madison's premier Westside hotel and the official state tournament home of Wisconsin Prep Hockey. All right, Burglar, I know we've had a lot of nominees on both sides, and who won?
Well, we did have a lot of nominees on both sides, and I usually get to say that the Radisson of Madison is Madison's premier Westside hotel and the official state tournament home of Wisconsin Prep Hockey, but you already said it, so I can't.
Well, you could always close the segment of that part of the show with saying it. Just kind of like radio, you know, you got the billboard and then you got the close and the, you know.
But then Trash would have to rewrite the show notes to show it at the bottom, because I just read what's in front of me on the script. Stay classy, Seattle.
Okay, what does it say? What does it say on the script?
It says that Jack Gorniak, a senior forward from West Salem, is our boys' Radisson-Madison Player of the Week. Mr. Gorniak, on Tuesday against La Crescent, he had 2 goals and 3 assists in an 8-0 win. On Thursday against La Crosse, he had 2 goals of the 3 that they scored in a 3-0 win. And in the highlight of the week, the tie, I guess not, I don't know that a tie would be a highlight when you've had 2 other wins, but on Saturday they tied the Spash Panthers 3-3. And Mr. Gorniak had a hand in all of the scoring for his team with 2 goals and an assist. So big week for Jack Gorniak, senior forward from West Salem, our Radisson-Madison Player of the Week on the boys' side. On the girls, another forward. We're getting past our goaltender bias. Forward Maddie Jablonski of the Fox City Stars. FR, does that mean she's a freshman?
That means she's a freshman, and I'll help you out with the dates here if you want. On Monday.
I'm not going to ask her out on a date.
No.
She's a freshman.
The dates that they played the game, silly.
Oh, because they're not listed here.
No, they're not.
I was going to go Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday again.
I'll help you out here. On Monday.
Monday, she had an assist in a 4-3 overtime win versus Appleton United.
On Friday,
she had 3 goals and 2 assists in a 6-3 win over Arrowhead.
And on a Sunday morning game, I'm just kidding, it was Saturday.
I was going to say they should be in church on Sunday morning. 4 goals in a 5-1 win versus Black River Falls. So a big week for freshman forward Maddie Jablonski of the Fox City Stars, our girls Radisson-Madison Player of the Week. And as you know, Radisson of Madison is Madison's premier Westside hotel and the official state tournament home of Wisconsin Prep Hockey.
That's a mouthful.
It is. And okay, I said it without tripping up.
Okay, Jack Gorniak and Maddie Jablonski, congratulations. It's both of those two had pretty good weeks. And give a little bit of props. We got a lot of submissions this week for Players of the Week, and you know, we only give one out, but boy, there was a lot of people that were deserving this week. So keep up on the submissions.
It seems like every week, the goaltender for the Bay Area Ice Bears. She had a big week. You know, all those shots and only 1 goal allowed against Central Wisconsin, but I don't know. It just seems like she's like worthy every week, but somebody just seems to eke her out each week.
She's having a fantastic season, no doubt about it.
Yep, I think she might maybe be seeing a bigger award at the end of the season. Probably more important than the Player of the Week.
I think she's sitting there with about 13 shutouts on the season so far.
She's 13? Having an outstanding year, that's for sure.
Wow, that's like Carey Price like.
Well, Ed, you know, just some of the nominees that we saw this week, guys, was defenseman from Onalaska had 7 assists this last week, and I mean, there's a lot of nominees out there and a lot of good choices, and it's been hard for the picks to, for the determination to come in on these picks.
Hey, you guys, fans, coaches, keep sending them in and keep making our decisions harder. It makes it all worthwhile.
Okay, those were our players of the week. Top 10, Del Scanlon, while you are in the mood to talk. Our boys and girls top 10s and honorable mentions. And why don't you go ahead and let everybody know who's in the top 10 and who's an honorable mention for this week. Del?
Thanks, MJ. On the boys, it's stayed pretty much status quo. We do have one change coming up on in the top 10. At number one is Wausau West. At number two, Hudson. Three, Arrowhead. Four, Stevens Point. Five, Eau Claire Memorial. The second half of the top 10 starts out with Waukesha, followed by Nina Menasha Hortonville at number seven. At number eight is University School of Milwaukee. At number nine are the Red Robins of Anago. And number 10, moving up from honorable mention, is Superior. Speaking of honorable mention, we have Appleton United, Chippewa Falls, Homestead, Notre Dame, and West Salem. And that's how the boys' top 10 came out this week. Then as we look at the girls, Central Wisconsin has held on to the top spot once again, followed by Hudson at number two. At number three is Hayward. At number four is Bay Area, moving up from number five. And at number five is Eau Claire Altoona Stars, having dropped down one position from number four. And then as we enter the second half of it, we look at number six, Fond du Lac, followed by number seven, St. Croix Valley. And then the Metro Lynx of Middleton at number eight. Sun Prairie was unranked last week and are up to number nine, with a victory over Metro Lynx this past week. And at number 10 is Rock County. Honorable mention, Appleton United and University School of Milwaukee. And that breaks down our top 10 for the boys and girls this week. MJ, back to you.
As you see there in the Badger Conference, for the girls' side, you see 8, 9, and 10, all Badger Conference girls. Metro Lynx, Sun Prairie, and Rock County, those three teams been bumping each other around here and during the season, and it's going to be a good finish there in that conference, in the Badger Girls Conference for girls hockey, as those three teams there really have played some good hockey, and coming down the stretch we'll see how they all finish up. But thank you very much, Del, for that report.
Yeah, before we move on, I just want to point out the harmonic convergence, or the planetary alignment, or whatever you want to call it. On the boys' side, we have number one, Wausau West, number two, Hudson. On the girls' side, we have number one, Central Wisconsin, and number two, Hudson. And on Saturday, we have, on the boys' side, Wausau West at Hudson, and on the girls' side, I believe, Hudson at Central Wisconsin. So it's like showdown time for the top 10, top two on each side this week. That it's not all that often that happens.
Where is that? Where is the whistling sound from the
that whistling sound?
Yeah, that one. That one from the Clint Eastwood. Burglar, yeah. Name that movie.
That's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And if you want to get into it, well, we won't assign roles.
Okay. Yeah, we had a play in high school based on that. It was the good, the bad, and the broccoli. So I'll be the broccoli. Yeah, that is pretty weird, though, isn't it, guys? Number one and number two, both with the teams from the same region or same school playing each other on the same day. It's like, wow, that is just crazy nuts. I mean, which games do you go to, right?
Be kind of cool if they were like back to back at the same rink. But
yeah, we couldn't get so lucky on that one.
No.
But yeah, that's crazy. I mean, that'll be
This is almost the way that they schedule the conference basketball games up here. I don't know if you guys do it down there, but like if Antigo is playing Rhinelander in basketball, then you know the boys will be playing up in Rhinelander, the girls will be playing in Antigo. I mean, it's the conference schedules are the same, just the sites are reversed.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
almost what yep. we have going here, yep. But with number one versus number two playing at the same time, just at opposite locations.
Yeah, as MJ was bringing up, you know, that the bottom, the set 8, 9, and 10 on the girls' side, that's going to make it a real interesting sectional three here in a couple weeks, you know, and you put on Alaska right in that mix, and it's going to make for a good sectional as we start looking at forward.
But Del, that sectional is going to be tight because all three of those teams and on Alaska, who's a good team as well, there's not a whole lot of difference between all three of those teams. So, yeah, I agree. It's going to really be a knockdown drag out through that sectional. Although we don't condone fighting, right?
No, I thought you were going to say we don't handicap them either. There's, you know, no betting on this.
No.
Purely for entertainment value.
So, MJ, what do we got coming up next?
We got
way to keep the show moving, Del.
What are you saying? It's out of control, going down fast?
Not yet.
Upcoming Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week. On the boys' side, Wausau West is at Hudson on Saturday. Trasher will be over there to cover that one because he likes that He likes that traveling expense. And on the girls' side, the Eastern Shores Conference Championship game, which is going to be at the Mullet Center on Saturday. Del Scanlon, you will be there and cover that one, right?
Yes, sir. We'll be there for the championship game at 6 p.m. on Saturday evening.
I didn't know if you were thinking about it or maybe changing your mind there at the last moment.
Nah, I was trying to figure out if I was able to make it from one game to the other one, and there's just no way.
Although that would be fun.
Here's the deal. Del is going to be making about, what'd you say, Del, about a two-hour drive over to the Mullet?
Yeah, a little over a two-hour drive to there.
Okay, and I'll be making about almost a three-hour drive over to Hudson. So I think what it's going to boil down to, my friend, is that our wives better get very nice Valentine gifts. So my wife probably won't talk to me for about 2 days after I get back, and that'll probably be good for her, not so good for me.
Well, my wife figures she can get more done around the house if I'm not here.
My wife would just go along.
And I got three games that I can cover this week without even leaving my backyard.
Oh, shut up.
All of them, you know, are actually, you know, game of the week worthy. Antigo is playing host to Wausau West on Tuesday. That's been a fun sectional final for the last three seasons.
But not this year.
And then a rematch. Antigo and Northland Pines, a game that Antigo eked out up there on a lucky bounce off of the glass. And then West Salem coming to town on Saturday. So next week I won't have any games of the week, but I'll have a couple of recaps to talk about.
Well, the other thing is, you know, as we go into Monday of next week, this Sunday is, you know, seeding Sunday. They're going to be, you know, going through the sectionals and figuring out who's where.
kind of more important than the Super Bowl this year, I think. Seeding Sunday. But yeah, this is the Sunday that the coaches all get together in the sectionals and hammer it out and seed the teams. And some teams get the spot they want. Some teams maybe don't get the spot they want. We'll find out the playoff schedule probably on Monday, next Monday, and we'll have that possibly.
Well, lately they've been releasing it Sunday night.
Well, I'm just trying to give them a little leeway because they can be like that sometimes, if you know what I mean. So, yeah, if we got it, we'll go ahead and pass it on, and, you know, we won't handicap it because otherwise we'd have to say for entertainment purposes only.
Correct.
Ah, okay. Although it's going to be a lot of fun this year. Well, before the show spins out of control and crashes, we do have a final thought from Trasher. Michael, you got something you want to talk about, and I'm going to give you the headset, and you go ahead and go.
Okay, I even remembered to turn on my microphone this time. Since we already talked about the boys and girls number one and number two playing, and we don't have to do that again, just talking about donations. Every year, Wikipedia always asks for money, even though they're a multi-billion-dollar industry. They still need money somehow. I think our last year's profit was just under $1 million. Not quite there. So we're always looking for donations to help us defray some of our expenses and costs. As you know, we do this all because we love hockey. We think we have a great website, and we're always trying to make it better, so we're always trying to get to more games, which means gas money, food money, lodging money. And so we're looking for donations to help us out a little bit with our expenses, as you know, traveling to playoffs, maybe a little bit further away than we normally go. So any donations would help us defray our costs, which means less money out of our pockets. And that way, as I had alluded to earlier, we would be able to buy our wife some nice Valentine's Day presents. So your donation will help me, Dell, Burglar, MJ, and even Junior get along better with our wives. So thank you in advance. Have a nice day.
Burglar, you have nothing to add to that?
No, I don't.
Amazing. You're at a loss for words. Okay.
Burglar probably already has his Valentine's Day present bought, so he doesn't need to worry about it.
Yeah, he's pretty smooth.
He is. He's good at hobnobbing.
Yeah. Yep, and we'll be doing some of that when we go to a pond for the senior class tournament, which isn't too far away. Late March, I believe.
Yeah, yes, Del. Somewhere in there.
Speaking of that senior tournament, for the girls' side, keep an eye out over the next week and a half. We'll probably end up with some information up about the junior-senior festival posted on the website. I was told via email that I could expect some information in the next week and a half. And once we get it, you guys will see it up on the website.
Trash will get up there with his little hammer and nails and tack it up and be there for everybody to see. Well, guys, that looks like we should put a lid on this one before we say anything stupid. So
too late.
Trasher, Burglar, Del Steinman. I'm Mike Hammett. You've been listening to This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey.
So long.